Daniel chapter 2. Go with me there in the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 2. And let's glean some more from God's Word today. One of the kids asked me this week, do you like watching that same game over and over again that you've seen before? You know what's going to happen. You know, sometimes after you watch something a certain amount of times, certain number of times, there's really no use in watching again because you know everything's going to happen and there's no thrill. Aren't you glad the Bible's not like that? I mean, no matter how many times you read it, it's alive. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's alive. That means it's always working. Always working. God is always moving. God is always directing. You said we were in Daniel chapter 2 last week, and we're in Daniel chapter 2 this week. Amen. And it's going to help you this week different than it did last week because it's alive. We thank the Lord for it. Picking up where we left off last week, look at verse number 14. I want you to gather some things from this passage of Scripture that God has spoken to me about this week, and I hope that they'll speak to you. Amen. Amen. Then Daniel answered with counsel the wisdom of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. That's not a good thing. See, even the baby said, no. No. He answered and said, you're leaving? I was kind of enjoying it. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion. You got any companions? You're going to need some people that you can make some things known to. Amen? That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. He was just singing about that concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. We pray that you would do a great work in the service today that only you can do. Thank you that my chains are gone. And I pray, God, we'd continue to share the message with a lost and dying world that needs to know that God can also take their chains away too. Bless now the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The clash between culture and Christianity. And we are watching it right before our eyes. If you know it's real, say amen. Somewhere they say the struggle is real. It's real, isn't it? It's real. And for those of us that know the Lord, we're in a clash. For those of us that don't know the Lord, you're in a clash too. And the clash is never going to go away. As long as we are here on planet Earth, as long as those of us that know the Lord have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. By the way, we're dealing with a conflict inside of us, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. I was talking to someone this week. At the end of the day, for us as believers, the issue is yieldedness. You see, I know, according to the Word of God, that the Spirit is always right. If you agree with that, say amen. I also know, according to the Word of God, the flesh is always wrong. You agree with that, say amen. So here's my challenge. Am I going to yield to the Spirit or am I going to yield to the flesh? If I say yes to God, I'm going to do right. If I say yes to the flesh, I'm going to do wrong. Raise your right hand if you want to do right. Raise your left hand if you don't want to do wrong. Now listen to me. Raise neither hand if you're not coordinated. All right, now listen. I've got to yield to the Spirit of God. Now listen to me. Culture is going to go one way. Christianity is going to go another way. The clash is going to be there. It's going to get more severe. It's going to get more intense. It's going to get more difficult. But listen to me now. Doesn't matter how bad culture gets. It doesn't matter how wicked the world becomes. It doesn't matter how crazy people act. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody say amen. God is always greater. So we're watching Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah in this clash. We saw this chapter number one. Now in chapter number two, we are witnessing it again. We saw here a serious predicament. We saw that the king has a dream. It's a dream he can't remember. It's a dream he doesn't understand. Listen to me. We are living in a world full of people with predicaments. Everywhere we turn, life serves us trials and tribulations, difficulties and dilemmas. This dream, this dilemma brought about distress. In him was a desire to know what had happened, a demand for people to tell him, a decree if they did not tell him. This is the predicament of Nebuchadnezzar. This predicament brought about a problem. So we have a serious predicament and a subsequent problem, that which we looked at last week. Here's the problem: insufficient resources. I don't have what it takes in my own power to solve my problem. Listen to me. That is the quandary of living the life that we live. We don't have the resources to solve our problems. We can't heal our sickness. We can't cure our problems. We can't fix our debt. Listen, we heard just someone stand up a few moments today and say, we had a need that needed to be met. It had to be met in a couple of days. There was nobody to solve our problem. And by the way, if you're a Christian, that shouldn't be a new narrative for you. Should it? Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to me. The reason why we got saved is because nobody could save us. Nobody could redeem us. Nobody could wash our sins away. And by the way, nobody on earth could die for us. Nobody could die and raise himself back to life. Nobody could leave heaven and come to earth except for one person. Listen to me. Jesus wasn't an option. Jesus wasn't a choice. Jesus wasn't somebody that we could pick out of a hat. He was the only one that could die. Somebody say amen that he did. And he didn't stay dead, he rose again. So here's the world trying to figure out how to solve their own problem. Insufficient resources, an identified rarity. This is not only a problem, but it's a rare problem. King, this doesn't happen much, verse number 11. You're asking us to recover your dream and interpret your dream. Nobody can do that but the gods. And by the way, the gods can't do it either. And so he gets an instinctive rage. He's mad. And we talked last week about being mad at the world. Listen to me. You find yourself with problems you can't fix, you'll be mad too. And here he is, upset because nobody in his realm can fix his problem. The intense ramifications, here they are. So if you can't, I'm sending out a decree to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Verse number 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So watch this now. This decree is not just killing the wise men, but it's killing God's people who are part of that group. Today, I want you to write down this thought. The serious predicament, number one. The subsequent problem, that's number two. Here's what I want to look at this morning for just a few moments. The spiritual perspective. The spiritual perspective. Now look up here just a moment. Culture works this way. Culture seeks to find out a secular way to fix a problem. And here they are, running in circles. The wise men can't figure it out. They're scared they're going to die. Nebuchadnezzar can't remember his dream. He's demanding they figure it out. Here they are. They're all trying to scurry around, trying to figure out how to solve their own problem. Do you look on the news? Do you look in the world in which we live? Listen to me. The world is running around in circles trying to figure out how to solve their problem. How do we solve hatred? How do we solve immorality? How do we solve bad religion? How do we solve marital crisis? How do we solve calamity? How do we solve disagreements? How do we solve depression? How do we solve despair? Let's come up with something else. Let's find a new protocol. Let's find some new data. Let's do some more resources. And they're running in circles trying to find out a secular way to solve mankind's problems. Here's what I'm coming to preach to you about this morning. Somebody that knows God has got to offer the world a spiritual perspective. Somebody's got to have the mind of God. And we're walking on scenes today where people are wearying themselves, trying to figure out how they can get it done, trying to figure out how they can get it accomplished. Listen to me. Religion is man's way trying to get himself back to God. We saw that way back in the beginning of the Bible. Remember the Tower of Babel? They're going to build their way up to God. You can't build your way up to God. Keep stacking the bricks, you're going to run out of bricks. Okay, keep having bricks, you're going to run out of energy. Keep having energy, you're going to run out of time. You can't get yourself to God. There's only one way mankind can get to God, and the only bridge to get you to God is through Jesus Christ. So religion is man trying to work his way to God. Relationship through Jesus Christ and righteousness is God sending Jesus to do the work to get us back to Christ. Here is a man trying to get his problem solved through other men. Here are men that can't solve it, and they're all going to die because they're trying to get something accomplished that is out of their means. Listen to me. Christian people aren't people that are smarter than everybody else that can fix problems. Christian people are people that are connected to a smart God. Come on now. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Except ye abide in me, ye cannot bear fruit. Listen to me. Ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. For without me, ye can do nothing. Listen to me. Your connectivity is why you have productivity. Listen to me. You only produce when you're connected to the vine. Listen to me. A branch doesn't have life unless it's connected to a vine that has life. Listen to me. Let's quit bragging about great branches we are, and let's start bragging about the great vine we're connected to. Thank God he's divine. Somebody say amen. So here we are in need of a spiritual perspective. America needs a spiritual perspective. Your coworkers need a spiritual perspective. Your family members need a spiritual perspective. Those that are hungering and those that are lost and those that are weary and those that are sad and those that are in despair. Listen to me. Mankind that's lost and on his way to a devil's hell needs the spiritual perspective. He doesn't need Confucius. He doesn't need Buddha. He doesn't need baptism. He doesn't need to turn over a new leaf. He needs a spiritual perspective. Listen to me. A spiritual perspective is the mind of God. Now I'm asking you, in a world full of problems that cannot be solved, does anybody in here have the mind of God? Look here in this passage. Spiritual perspective. Notice the sound insight. Verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Now Daniel's hearing about this. Something's going on in the palace. Something happened with the king. He can't fix it. Something happened with the king's wise men. They can't fix it. The king's mad. He's going to declare everybody that needs to be killed by it. And here comes Daniel. Daniel hears about it. And the Bible says, then answered Daniel with counsel and wisdom to Arioch. Sound insight. Hey, let me tell you something. Wisdom will give you something college can't teach you. Come on now. Wisdom will give you something Google can't find for you. Wisdom will give you something a palm reader can't tell you. Wisdom will give you something that IQ cannot garner from you. Wisdom comes from God. James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of, which give it to all men, liberally and abraded not. In other words, he don't make you feel bad for asking. He says you lack wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom crieth out. She uttered her voice in the streets, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners hate scorning and love your scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Read Proverbs chapter 1 in your spare time. It is a picture. It is a story of wisdom going downtown, crying out to people saying, you need me. You need me. You need me. And let me tell you something. Every time you hear a message preached, wisdom is saying, you need me. Every time the Holy Spirit's talking to you, wisdom is saying, you need me. Listen to me, parent. Every time your child, every time your parent says something to you, wisdom is crying out. You know the sad thing in Proverbs chapter 1? Wisdom is crying out, and they were ignoring wisdom. And guess what Proverbs said? Wisdom said, okay, when I call you, you ignore me. When you call me, I'm going to ignore you. You better listen when you're in church. You better listen to your parents. You better listen while you're growing up. You're going to get grown and wish you did. You better listen to people that are talking to you. Wisdom is crying out. Daniel is the sound insight, stepping up as a minority in a land full of nonsense, saying, let me tell you what God has to say about this problem. Listen to me. When you walk up on a scene on your job, when you walk up on a scene in your school, when you walk up on a scene in your family, when you witness some nonsense on social media, somebody with the mind of God needs to step up and say, I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I am saying I know a God who does. Sound insight. Notice the sincere inquiry. He answered and said to Arioch, king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? I'd like to focus on this question. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Everybody say, why? Three-letter word. When you ask why, you are inquiring details. When you ask why, you are desirous of what's happening. When you ask why, you are concerned about what's going on. When you ask why, you want somebody to fill you in. But notice the point says a sincere inquiry. Listen to me. Some people ask why to be nosy. Preach, pastor. Other people ask why because they're sincere and they want to help. Now, I'd like to ask you a why. Why do you ask why? You know what we need? We need some Christian people that are asking why, not to get information, but why so they can get involved. Why? Here's what Daniel says. He says, why is the decree so hasty? You know what he's looking at? He's looking at the king's captain who's representing all of the people who are getting ready to lose their lives because this man who has power has a problem that nobody can solve. And by the way, if somebody in charge gets mad, everybody underneath is in trouble. And so Nebuchadnezzar's in a bad mood and everybody working for him is going to lose their lives unless somebody steps up with the answer. Daniel asked a question because he had a burden. Are you burdened for marriages falling apart? Are you burdened for people that are suffering in despair? Are you burdened for people who are going through trials and don't have any hope? Are you burdened for people who are looking for the answers in all the wrong places? Are you burdened for people who are caught up in a bad habit? Burdened for people who are drowning in immorality? Burdened for people who are suffering from corruption? Burdened for people who are filled with wicked minds? Burdened for people who are struck by generational curses? Burden for people who've never been exposed to love. Burden for people who've never been in a good, solid church that preaches and teaches the truth. When you go to work tomorrow, don't gather up in a corner and talk about somebody. Don't whisper in the corner and try to find out details. Go to the source and say, what's going on? What's on your mind? What are you dealing with? Because I happen to know somebody who can solve your problem. Quit being nosy and try to get involved, help somebody. Somebody needs a Christian to walk up on the scene and say, I see you're hurting. I see you're weary. I see you're struggling. I see you're crying. I see you're going through something. Listen to me. I'm going through something too. The difference between you and me is not that I don't go through anything. People need to quit thinking that Christian people got it made in the shade, drinking heavenly lemonade. Listen to me. Christian people have problems. Matter of fact, some Christians have more problems than some worldly people because the devil wants to hurt Christians more than he wants to hurt other people because you are not getting chased by the devil unless you're messing with him. Listen to me. So when you do right, the devil is on you. But Christian people need to let people know, I'm not better than you. I'm not smarter than you. I'm not someone more special than you. But I've gotten connected to a source. Listen to me. Somebody got to testify. He set me free. He took my chains away. I see you weary. I see you struggling. I see you down. I see you in despair. If you tell me the details, I won't blast it all over to everybody. I'll talk to God about it. Sincere inquiry. Write this down. Solicited involvement. Are you looking at verse number 16? 15, Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Are you a Christian competent enough that a lost person can share his problems with you, knowing that he has deposited his problems in a safe place that will bring a remedy that can only come from God? Somebody help me preach. Are you trustworthy with a lost man's burdens? I ain't talking about saved people's burdens. I'm talking about lost people. Can a lost person bear his heart to you and know that when it gets in your hands, it's just a transfer from your hands to God's hands? Listen to Daniel's response. He went in and desired of the king 16, that he would give him what? That he would give him what? And that he would show the king the interpretation. On the job, you know, if you want time off, you have to fill out a what they call them sheets? Leave? Okay, well, I was expecting something more complex. All right, leave. I guess if you want to leave, you have to ask permission to leave. And what you're basically saying to the boss is, I need time. I want you to hear Daniel. Here's what he's saying. Sir, you have a problem. If you give me time, I'll figure out how to solve your problem. Now, we all know that Daniel wasn't going to figure it out on his own. Amen? But all he wanted was, here's what he's saying. Before you go out of your mind and kill people for no reason, here's in so many words what give me time, Daniel was saying. Here's what he's saying. Sir, before you do something silly, here's my request. Would you give God a chance? Would you give God a chance? Is that not the message of hope that you and I should be serving people every single day? Hey, before you do that, before you throw in the towel, before you quit, before you walk out and let somebody ruin, before you give yourself to somebody who can't help you, before you waste a decision on something you're going to regret, listen to me. Would you give God a chance? Doesn't the world need to know you're not as hopeless as you think you are? There's a God of hope that just wants a chance. You know, folks, we're handing out time to everybody else. You get them video games time. Get that television time. Get that internet time. Get that social media time. Come on, get them restaurants time. Come on, in just an hour or so, we're going to get that football time, and I'm going to make sure you got time to get it time. Preach, pastor. Now, why can you give that game a time? Why can you give the golf course a time? Why can you give the shopping mall a time? Remember they used to call it Black Friday? Now it's Black Thursday. I mean, the stores are opening on Thanksgiving evening now. Why are they opening early? Because people need more time. I need more time to spend money I don't have. And I convince myself that it's okay because stuff is cheaper. And so people are going to barely digest their turkey. They still got dressing on their mouth. They can't hardly walk, and they're already at Walmart. Can't hardly get out the car with greens falling off their face and grease stains from yams on it. But I need more time to go in there and buy three more of what I already haven't used, the two I got. And here's God saying, I don't need you to wait till the day after Thanksgiving or the evening of Thanksgiving. Hey, right where you are in your trial, would you give me some time? And I'm looking for some believers that will solicit involvement from unbelievers on God's behalf. Hey, coworker. Hey, family member. Hey, neighbor, before you drown in hopelessness, would you let me talk to my people? Would you let me take this issue to headquarters? I have a connection. Let me close with shared information. Then Daniel, verse 17, are you with me? Went where? I'm just seeing if you're watching. He went where? To his house. Why did he go to his house? Why did he go to his house? Because who was at the house, right? Who was at his house? His companion. Do you have any? Any companions? Companions. I just say your boys, your homies, your girl, actually your companions. Because let's just keep it real. At the moment that Daniel went to the king asking for time and giving a guarantee, he put his head on the line. Well, you done bark now. You better be able to bite. Because you went in there to the king on your own and said, let me have time, notice, and I will. He would show the king interpretation. You're speaking kind of bold there, ain't you, Daniel? You bad now. If you give me time, I'll tell you the dream, watch this now, that none of your people could figure out. Come on now, there's a message in here. If you give me time, I will give you from God what you couldn't get from the world. Can God put marriages together? Can God give hope to hopelessness? Can God cure what the doctors can't cure? Come on now. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Won't he do it? Has he done it? Then why don't you start telling people to give God time, tell them that God will come through, and then after you make a guarantee, go pray your way through that guarantee. Get you a circle of companions you can trust. Look up here. Look, like the country folks say, look up in here. Look up in here. Look up in here. You can't tell your business, everybody. Preach, Pastor. You can't tell your business, because they don't know what to do with it. You better find somebody that can join you in finding the one somebody that can solve your problem. And it ain't always about quantity. It's about quality. I had a picture up on my wall years ago. I don't need a certain number of friends, just a number of friends I can be certain of. You better have you some people that know how to get a hold of God. Well, I don't really know any of them. I'd spend this week searching. Find me some prayer warriors. Some prayer warriors. Pastor, where do you start? If I were you, I'd start with some people with some gray hair. Come on now. They've been walking with God a little while. You don't know who knows how to pray around here. You get to church about 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and you wait here, and you look at all the people walking slow up in here. Find somebody on a walker. Come on now. Find you somebody that's been saying the same stuff about 40 years. Preach, Pastor. Find you somebody that's got some wisdom, and their wisdom has a track record of getting through to God. Don't look at the car they drive in. Look at how they walk in. Look at how they're talking. Just look long enough, there'll be a glow around them. I said a glow around them, a hoary head that the Bible says. There'll be some wisdom about. Find you somebody that has a little chuckle about them, that's got the glee of God on them. Somebody's been walking with God. They don't all have to have gray hair, but they ought to have a scent of wisdom that you can smell even through your mask. Don't be looking for some spiritual titty bopper. Find somebody that gets through to God. Somebody that believes in prayer. Somebody called me this week and said, I've got a burden from a pastor who fell. It was Brother Hayes' pastor. His pastor fell off of a roof and he could be paralyzed from his waist down. He went to another church to help a church that was putting a roof up, and he had history in working on it, and he fell off the roof, and now going to help somebody, he's hurt himself. Brother Hayes called me Friday night, said, pray. I said, Brother Hayes, I promise you pray. He said, I don't need you to tell me you promise. I know you pray. I want people to know I pray. Look here. When I tell you I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, I need $50,000. I can't help you, but I know who can. And at 5 o'clock this morning, I was talking to a rich man. I said, I was talking to a rich man. Amen. He wasn't printing any money. He wasn't looking for money. He wasn't meeting with his Congress to get his bill approved. Let me tell you something. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. All the gold and silver in the world belongs to him. And once he uses up all the gold and silver, he can make some more gold and silver. He can make it appear. Listen to me. He can take you when you can't pay your school bill and show you up with a grant that you didn't even know existed. Let me tell you something. I know a God who can. We don't need to know how to solve people's problems. We need to learn how to pray. God's taught me nothing. Let me tell you something. I've been praying my way through everything. Pray my God, give me a parking space. Lord, no, I don't feel like walking. And it's raining. And I don't want to mess up my hair. No, I don't say that. Pray. Pray. That's why I don't like watching football games with my mom, because she prays against my team. And she wanted them women to get through to God. I don't worry about people like Zeb Simbukwe. God don't listen to him. But my mama, she get to praying. I said, don't pray for the game unless we rooting for the same people. Do you know anybody that knows how to pray? I got me some people I can call on to pray. Amen. We get together with our leadership, talk to the deacons. I said, let's pray. These men pray. We pray for one another. Pray together. We get together on Zoom and we pray. And listen, and the best thing about prayer is when the prayer gets answered. Can you imagine Daniel coming home that day? Shared information and serious intercession. A desperate request and a divine rescue. Come here, fellas. I'm not really calling fellas, not for real. Everybody look around. Which one of us is he talking to? Like my grandma would say, ain't there one of y'all? All right, I'm not talking. I'm acting it out. Come here, fellas. We got to talk. We got to get through to God. We got to get through to God. Not only does the king have a dream he forgot that needs to be interpreted. He's mad at everybody. None of his professionals can interpret it. And now because he's mad and they can't interpret it, we all about to die. So here's the prayer. We need to pray for mercy. Here's a test question. You prayed this week, didn't you? Do you remember praying for mercy? We don't pray for enough, do we? God knows we need it. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, the Bible said I got brand new mercy every day. I don't pray. I already got it. No, you need more than that. You keep praying. Pray. Desire mercy of the God of heaven. Concerning this secret. Ain't the world trying to figure out secrets? How are we going to get out of this pandemic? God knows. I went to the gas tank the other day and I thought, I need mercy. I have one of those vehicles that calls for premium gas. And you know, you're borderline self-diagnosed with depression. Just looking at the sign when you pull up and seeing a 4 at the beginning of the digit for the gas that you got to put in this car. And then you click the thing on where you hold, where it holds the tank for you. Y'all know what it is. The thing that you put in the tank. What'd you say? Nozzle. Yeah. That was complex. And you're just watching it just go. And then, you know what you do? You go look in the car and see where it is. Make sure the thing ain't just going even though it's full. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. I need a Tesla. And then you start looking at those and you say, Lord, have mercy. Aren't you looking forward to the day we don't have to fill up for gas? I mean, it's just, it don't matter whether you got need premium or whether you use regular. You need mercy. Raise your hand. I'm like, God, could you fill it up faster for cheaper? And I heard a voice from heaven say, no. That's just one example. There's nothing you and I can do this morning to lower the gas prices. But we can pray. Are you facing something today where you've done everything but pray? I read this morning in the Psalms, I was reading David's Psalm. He said, morning, noon, and evening will I pray. Here, you got a burden? Here's what I want to challenge you. Pray about it morning, noon, and evening. Pray about it for 30 days. Well, after you have to happen after 30 days, keep praying. But get to 30 first. Why in the world should God think you're serious about something you hadn't even prayed about for 30 days in a row? Daniel says, we got a problem. But we have a spiritual perspective on that problem. Does anybody in the building have the mind of God for the world's predicaments? We should. We've got His Spirit living inside of us. My challenge to you is this week. Solicit a chance on God's behalf to let Him solve people's problems. Give them an unabashed guarantee that God will come through, and then dive into intercession, because the only way to get God in through you for someone else's problems is to pray. It's worked before, it's working now, and it will work until Jesus comes. Let the church say amen. Father, we love you and we bless your name. We thank you for being God. Thank you for being good. Keep helping us. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.